This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, today's khutbah, today's brief khutbah, I want to share with you a few reflections from a very famous, powerful statement that came out a few months ago from the Blessed Land. There was a man that lost two of his grandchildren. And one famous expression that went around the world and became viral up until this day, it is trending, was two words he said, and that was Ruhu Arruh, which translates to the soul of the soul. Many, millions, hundreds of millions were inspired by this. Non-Arabs, non-Muslims memorized it. People that didn't even know the Arabic language memorized it, learnt it. And this man became an inspiration and a guidance for people during a moment of calamity. Brothers and sisters in Islam, in today's khutbah, I want to share with you the reality of Ruhul Ruh. And what is that exactly? You see, this man, may Allah Azza wa Jal bestow mercy and patience upon him and those who he lost. But this man is a story of someone who lost something in this worldly life, something dear and valuable to him. Then he is a story of how did he pick himself up and become very resilient and patient in the face of this adversity and calamity that Allah Azza wa Jal decreed for him. This is a story of each and every single one of us. Human beings suffer losses in their life. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal promised. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ loss, وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. Allah Azza wa Jal's promise since day one has always been that each and every single one of us will face loss. Whether it's financially related, people lose their jobs, people lose their social status, people may lose relationships, divorce, separation, people may lose loved ones and friends that are around them, people may lose the sense of security that they once had, people may lose some of their safety, people may lose their independence when they become disabled and in old age and need others to care for them. The idea is loss. Allah Azza wa Jal tests mankind with loss. From day one, from when Adam alayhi salam was removed from the paradise and put on earth, this is a world of trials, tribulations, and the main trial that tests our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal is the trial of loss. Binaqsin, loss. And so this man, he uttered a word. He said, Ruhu Arruh, the soul of the soul. I heard this, and many weeks later, something struck to my mind in the sense that people must understand what is the soul of the soul? What is it? We know, of course, the soul of the soul referred to that young girl, his granddaughter that he carried, because this is his granddaughter. So he had his daughter, that's the soul. And then this is her daughter, that's the soul of the soul. And so this is how people understood this word. But the reality of Ruhu Arruh, it is actually the Quran. And if you looked at this man and were amazed and surprised that how was this person so patient, holding his granddaughter, lifeless body, and his grandson is laying there already, no tears, nothing other than words of patience. Alhamdulillah, wa hasbunallah, wa ni'mal wakil. When do you scratch your head and you say, how has he come to this status in life? How has he remained this patient and resilient? And after that, and we see now his life now, after this, he's comforting others. He's going from one tent to another, seeing what people have lost, what they're feeding them, looking after them, keeping them firm and patient and steadfast. What do you ask? Where did he get this strength from? Where did he get this peace in his heart from? Where did he get this tranquility from? Because we will all go through loss. We need some of that as well. We need that. And we need to, we have from now until the loss comes to learn what is going to keep us steadfast and patient and resilient in the face of any calamity that we face. So ruhu ar-ruh is the Quran. It's the Quran and the message of the Quran that made this person an inspiration to the world. And I tell you something. You see, all of us have a ruh within us, right? This is the soul. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you about الروح, about the soul. We have this inside of us. Allah Azza wa Jalla said about Adam alayhi salam when he created him, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. So there is no doubt we have a ruh inside of us. And this ruh inside our body may die. It can die. How do we revive this ruh and how do we nurture it and make it alive? You need to make this ruh that's inside of you feed on a ruh that came from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that is the Quran. When Allah described the Quran, subhanallah, he used the same word. He said, وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا. Allah referred to the Quran as a ruh, as a soul. Al-ulama, they say because the Quran gives life to the soul that is in the body. So the Quran is called ar-ruh. We have a ruh inside of us. Therefore, al-Quran becomes ruhu ar-ruh. It becomes the soul of the soul of a person. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالْرُوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ. When Allah referred to the revelation, He said that He sends down the angels with the ruh, with the revelation. You see, we have a body. And this body was made from organic matter. This body, it was made from the earth, from clay and mud. So all its needs are from the earth. You need to eat from what the earth produces. We need to drink from the water that is available with us here on earth. We need some of this sunlight so that this body replenishes and remains strong and healthy. And that's all here on earth. Ar-ruh also has needs. You see, if the body, if you deprive it of food, it dies. Ar-ruh also needs food. And the food of the ruh comes from where it came from. And that is the Quran. Ruh came from Allah. Well, Quran came from Allah as well. So this soul of ours, it nurtures and it feeds upon the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I share with you, how does the Quran provide comfort for a person that faces the calamity of loss? You see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was in Mecca, he lost two beloved ones to him. He lost his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, the mother of all his kids except Ibrahim radiallahu anhu. And he also lost his uncle Abu Talib. Abu Talib was a very strong support and protection for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The day Abu Talib died, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I faced intense attacks from Quraysh, meaning he was defending him all this time. He lost two members in his family. On two separate days, the entire year was known in a seerah as Aamul Huzn, the year of sorrow and grief. They just died on two different days. But the whole year was called Aamul Huzn. So you can understand the intense calamity Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced when he lost two family members. How did the Quran comfort him during this time? Allah Azza wa Jal revealed Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf was a story about Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam also losing two children of his. When I reflect on this incident and I say our brother there in the blessed land also lost two of his grandchildren. Look at the ID. Surah Yusuf alayhi salam was revealed. And it is talking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about a prophet that also suffered loss of two dear ones, beloved ones to him. Follow through his story and see how he responded in this calamity. and implement it in your life, and that would be the tranquility and the peace and the comfort you need. This is Allah narrating unto you a story about a person that went through the same loss. It becomes a lot more relevant and accepting for a person that lost as well. I tell you something. Let's say you lost, like you lost big time in a business of yours. And I never experienced a loss in business. So I came to you and I said, brother, alhamdulillah, patience, may Allah reward you. My words will not be effective. Because you might look at me and say, oh, you didn't suffer the same loss. You got no idea what I'm going through. Please stop talking. But in this case here, what we're seeing is that the words that Allah Azza wa Jal reveals are stories of prophets that faced loss. So now, when I read Quran and explain it to you, and I explain the story of a prophet that went through loss, I'm telling you it is very relatable to you. You're not unique in this situation. You have a prophet that lost. Look what he did. Look how he behaved. Look how he acted. Look at his attitude and his words. Copy him. That's the point of a story. Allah Azza wa Jalla at the end of Surah Yusuf, he says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the stories of prophets, there is a ibrah for people with sane minds, for the believers. What does ibrah mean? Ibrah is translated lessons, valuable lessons and wisdom. But ibrah actually comes from the word abara, abara. Abara meaning to go from one side of the river to the other side. Like the little boat that takes you from one side of the river to the other side is called al-abira. Meaning the stories of the Quran are enough to take you from the side of weakness to the side of strength. They'll take you from being hopeless, from a state of hopelessness, to being into a state of hopefulness. It takes you from the side of misguidance to the side of guidance. It takes you like that. This is the stories. That's what they're supposed to do. So when you're injured, when your heart is injured and broken and you're sad, you're on this side of the river. When you read the story of the Quran that is very relevant to your calamity, by the end of the story and reflecting over its lessons, you should travel in this boat to the other side, which is the side of happiness, the side of relief, the side of hopefulness in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. It's a father, Yaqub alayhi salam, that suffered loss of his two kids. And he suffered the loss of their trust as well. They said to him, send Yusuf alayhi salam, send him with us, we'll look after him. And then we'll bring him back. And they betrayed their father. So he lost their respect and he lost their trust in his life. But how did he respond when he lost that? He would say, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said to his kids, you made up a story. There's no wolf, there's no blood, no one actually ate him. بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said, فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. I will find beauty in patience. Beautiful patience, it means when you do not complain about anything. See, there is patience, and then there is beautiful patience. The difference is that patience is, you might complain, and it's fine, you can complain. But don't complain about Allah. You may complain to Allah Azza wa Jal about your suffering, about your calamity. Beautiful patience is to not complain to anyone of mankind at all. It's like you close the case, you raise it to Allah Azza wa Jal, and I'll only seek help and seek strength from Him alone. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. He said, only Allah Azza wa Jal is going to help me from these words that you utter, words of fabrication and lie. Yaqub alayhi salam loses two children. The calamity is intense, that he cries every single day to the point where وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. His eyes, he became blind, but the worst type of blindness. You see the blackness in the eye? That became white. The blackness was gone. The entire eye was white. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. From grief, from sadness. فَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. He was full of grief. That was his state. Watch this now. And this, العُلَمَاء رَحِمَهُمُ اللَّهِ, they say that he was separated from Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother 80 years. 80 years he was separated from them. Well, Hassan rahimahullah, he says, there was no one more beloved to Allah on earth than Ya'qub alayhi salam. The more beloved the person is to Allah, the greater the test. That's the message we're getting from Surah Yusuf. Imagine Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reading it. He's lost two of his own and he's smiling as he's reading. There's someone I can relate to. Allah decreed this calamity on Ya'qub years, thousands of years ago, to reveal it to me today so it can be a source of strength and comfort for myself and for my ummah as well. After this period and his eye has gone white, he gathers his children. You know what he says to them? He said, اِذْهَبُوا فَتَحَسَّسُوا مِنْ يُوسُفُ. He says, go look for Yusuf alayhi salam. He says to them, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. For indeed, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. No one gives up hope in the mercy of Allah except the disbelieving people, because they don't believe in Allah, let alone hope in Him. But I tell you something. You see these words he said? When he said to his kids, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. He did not say it when he was sitting in the balcony of a hotel with his feet raised and drinking an ice cold cup of juice or whatever. He said it after he had lost two kids and after his eye had become white from grief and sadness and after his state was full of sadness. This is an achievement. To say, لا تيأسوا من روح الله, at that point of life, is indeed an achievement. That's what Allah wants to see. That is it. Look, Allah Azza wa Jal can give him his kids any day, any time. Look at the entire story is a miracle in terms of how events happen. Allah Azza wa Jal could have brought the entire thing earlier and gave him, he reunited him with child after a day or a week or a month. But Allah Azza wa Jal loves to hear from the servant words of hope in him. Allah loves to hear from the servant that he praises him despite his intense calamity. That's the achievement in life. You know, at the end of the story, Allah Azza wa Jal would reunite Ya'qub with his son Yusuf. And they meet. He said to them, don't despair from Allah's mercy. A few moments later, he smells the shirt of his son. A few moments later, his son is in his hand. He's hugging him. This is all from the relief and the goodness of having good thought in Allah Azza wa Jal in a moment of calamity. He reunites him. But you see, I tell you something. What is the biggest achievement in Ya'qub's life? Was it that he got to be reunited with his children at the end? That's not the greatest achievement. The greatest achievement was his steadfastness during the calamity. That was the greatest achievement. The greatest achievement was that he said, لا تيأسوا من روح الله. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Even though that is a moment in where it would be so difficult to say. He achieved it in life. Because look, at the end of life, he died. Yusuf alayhi salam died. But because of his steadfastness in that calamity, now they'll live forever in the paradise united ever and ever. Subhanallah. Allah Azza wa Jal's reward is true. And even Yusuf alayhi salam himself, he goes through these many calamities in life. Separated from his parents when he's young. Thrown in a well, alone and dark. Then he's sold as a slave. Then he ends up in the palace of Al-Aziz, the king of Egypt. Then he's brought among the women. He's played around with. Imagine this. Imagine you're taken and you are forced to display your beauty to a group of women. What an intense calamity and a fitna that a person would go through. He was forced to expose and display his beauty to a group of women that all were mesmerized and loved what they saw, that they began to cut their own fingers. What a calamity. To the point where he says, رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. He says, my Lord, prison is more beloved to me than what they call me to. Why? How is a calamity, a prison, more beloved to someone? When a calamity saves your iman and your faith, it becomes beloved to the believer. You see how Allah Azza wa Jal changes our perspective. Going through a calamity that saves your iman is better than earning this entire worldly life and losing your iman with it. So he begins to say, my Lord, this prison, this calamity that he'll sit in for the next 9 years, oppressed, and the worst type of oppression, because he was innocent of what they accused him of, and he wasn't able to prove his innocence. The worst type of oppression, this is it. He'll spend the next 9 years in there. But despite the calamity, it is more beloved to him because there's a protection for his deen in that. As opposed to being out there on the stage displaying his beauty to the woman. He said, if you do not remove their evil planning from me, أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنْ, I will eventually incline to them. I'll incline to this dunya. وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and after that I'll become from the foolish. That's a prophet talking. How much comfort does this give the believer when he reads it in the time of calamity? Seeing that if this calamity keeps me straight in line, protecting my faith, my iman, and wallahi, it's more beloved to me than having this entire worldly life and losing my iman slowly and slowly. This is what we're learning. How much comfort? What book on earth can give you this comfort? What book on earth could be a soul for your soul? Read 1,000 books that have been authored by psychologists. They won't have the same effect as the Quran. إِمَّا نَوَنِي. Yusuf alayhi salam, that's his calamities at the end of life. You know what he says at the end, right after all this? 80 years of suffering, of separation, going from place to place, being played around with. At the end he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. My Lord has always been good to me. He's always been kind. He's always been compassionate, merciful to me. Then he says, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. My Lord is compassionate to whoever he wants. 80 years of suffering, his response is, my Lord has always been kind and merciful. This is success, more than him seeing his father. Because this is something stored with Allah Azza wa Jal, and he'll give you great reward for it. Allahu Akbar. And that's why Yusuf alayhi salam, the only thing he wanted on earth, you know what it was? What was the only thing he wanted after all this suffering? The only thing he wanted at the end, he said, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Cause me to die upon Islam. That's it. I don't want anything else. I just want, oh Allah, I want from you to keep me that steadfast and guided until I die upon La ilaha illallah, and then admit me among the righteous companionship, among the messengers and the prophets and the good people. That's all I want. I will take all this suffering, all these calamities, all these losses. I lost ease and ease of being with my father and my family. It's no problems. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي, you've always been good. But I just want one thing. تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. Brothers and sisters in life, brothers and sisters in Islam, that is the reality of life. This is what it is. Test and test, suffering and calamity. And a believer will never, ever, ever be able to remain resilient and strong and steadfast and patient without the Quran. Without the stories that Allah Azza wa Jal narrates in the Quran. They were a source of comfort for our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for the companions also. And they remain a source of comfort and tranquility for all of us until the last day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to appreciate Al-Quran. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow the meanings of the Quran to penetrate deep in our hearts. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Ramadan is around the corner. This is the month of the Quran. And it is incumbent upon each and every single one of us to develop and strengthen that relationship with the Quran. It's not a matter of choice. It's not a matter of choice. The believer is the Quran. That's his life. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was described, كان قرآنا يمشي. He was a Quran that walked. But that his life was a Quran. And so a believer cannot afford to remain far away from the Quran and the lessons and the word of Allah and the instruction of Allah and the law and the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. You'll become corrupt. You'll become misguided. You'll become ruined. You'll become a transgressor. You will rebel. A life without the Quran is a miserable life. In every calamity, you'll lose more and more of your deen. You'll lose more and more of your steadfastness. It's not worth it. Remember, the end goal is tawaffani muslima. How are you tawaffani muslima? How's it going to happen? If you're far away from the path of the Quran, far away from the path of Islam, how? The miracles don't happen like this. There needs to be work. There needs to be sacrifice. We said like Yusuf, making a sacrifice. I'd rather the calamity than this dunya. And he was honest. And Allah would give him death upon Islam at the end of his life. What are the sacrifices you've made in your life? What dunya have you cut out to increase the relationship with the Quran? What investment have you made for yourself to strengthen your understanding of Islam? What have you done? This is a question each and every single one of us must ask himself. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they said, let's go visit Umm Ayman. This is way after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, let's go visit, because the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go visit Umm Ayman. Umm Ayman was the caretaker of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was young. So they went, they said, we'll go visit. They visited her and she began to cry. So Abu Bakr began to say to her, Ya Umm Ayman, relax, patience. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in a better place, is with Allah. She said, I'm not crying because he died. I know where he is, he's in a better place. But I'm crying because al-wahi has been cut off from the sky. Wahi doesn't come anymore. It doesn't come. That's why she's crying. Al-ulama took from this hadith that it is permissible for a person who reads the Quran to cry, remembering that there's no more wahi coming down from us. Allah doesn't talk to us anymore through al-wahi. It's a reason to cry. I read this hadith and I ask, this is a person that reads the Quran, he should cry because the wahi has stopped. Imagine a person who actually cut the wahi from himself, doesn't read, doesn't listen, doesn't reflect, doesn't ponder, doesn't care at all. How much should he cry? How many buckets and buckets should he cry upon himself? The reality is, those that are away from the Quran don't even cry. The hearts have become very, very, very tough and black. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to purify them. During this month of purification, the month of Ramadan, do your best, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to establish something of the Quran in your life and in your family's life. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all.